Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 10:02 p.m. That is, excuse me, a.m. And that is on Monday, June 3rd. I'm recording a little earlier than normal because I'm heading to a Marcus Evans conference in the afternoon, and then I wouldn't be able to record until well into the evening. It's been a very eventful day so far. There are, I think, three important factors that really do need to be highlighted. The first is the underperformance of the mega cap technology companies, particularly the FANGs. Netflix, in fact, has been the one that's held up best. It's right in the region of the trend mean right now, but it is pulling back towards, in fact, it broke down to new reaction lows in here today. Now the big question is the extent to which it can rally off those lows. We're at, I think, rather a critical juncture for this particular share. But when, for example, we look at the downward dynamic that we had, for example, on Amazon in here today, it was down so far about $80. And when we look at that on a weekly basis, we have confirmation of the peak around 2000. It's a lower high. Now it's back below the trend mean. We could still argue that this is a lengthier period of consolidation, particularly following the violence of the pullback we had in the fourth quarter and the extent of the rebound in the first quarter. But when we think about what the market is has got in store for us, then the bullish case here is that it could be ranging for a couple of years at least. And the range is likely to be somewhere in the region of $2,000 down to $1,250, which is a rather significant range. Then we also have to look at Google. I think what's particularly important about Google is that it was among the most consistent trends in the world until the first quarter of last year. And now it has turned into a much choppier chart. It's coming down now to test this $1,000 area. That $1,000 is a big psychological level because the defining characteristic of Google has been the fact that it had encountered resistance at successively higher levels at big round numbers, and it's continued to do that, but it had also been finding support at round numbers, and that each of those ranges previously had been in the order of about $100. Now we're looking at a $300 range. So this is a much more volatile environment. It tells us that there's a battle going on between supply and demand. This is characteristic of type 3 top formation development potentially, or it's a much bigger process of consolidation following an especially impressive advance over the course of the last few years. So I think that's one of the rather important points. Now, when we think about it in those terms, it's got to find support around 1,000, or we're going to have to conclude that this is an evolving top formation. Facebook, having had its very significant drawdown at the middle of last year, has also confirmed resistance again around this $200 area. It was back below the trend mean in here today. If this is a medium-term consolidation, then the lows around $125 are likely to hold, but this was another big downward dynamic that we've had in here. Tesla has been leading on the downside. It's one of the companies that has benefited most from the availability of massive quantities of cheap credit. They built a car company out of nothing because of availability of cheap credit. Now the question is whether they can keep it open as credit conditions start to tighten, and that's of particular concern because it's not simply Tesla that's underperforming, but the wider automotive sector. We're also starting to see that we're getting a lot of layoffs in the automotive sector. One of the points, of course, is that manufacturing has been deteriorating everywhere. And while it's still positive in the USA, it's negative in Japan, Germany, the UK, and South Korea. So we know that there is slowing global economic activity. A lot of that has to do with China. And that's the other point that's worth making in here today. It's not so much about the performance of China's stock market, because Where the problems reside in China are in the unlisted sector. There is a massive quantity of debt that's sitting on the regional banks. And one of the few that was listed in Hong Kong has been suspended, and they're among the bigger regional banks. They've suspended trading because their auditors have resigned. That's never a good sign. And Baosheng Bank was one of the first banks in a long time to be taken over again by the government last week. So the stress that is coming to bear on the regional banks has now started to appear in terms of default probabilities. This has been a looming problem because China has been weighing on the sector for the last 3 years, first stamping out their ability to raise funds domestically, then killing off the private lending networks, then shadow banking, then US dollar denominated debt. So successive avenues through which these banks could raise capital have been cut off. This is a significant problem because the quantity of debt that's sitting on regional balance sheets and off balance sheet, perhaps more correctly, is in the order of about $4 to $5 trillion. And there is the potential here that the problems being experienced in the regional banks is really just the thin end of the wedge, that there is a looming problem here. Now, of course, that is obviously going to put downward pressure on the renminbi. The vast majority of Chinese debt is held internally, so that does represent a potentially less of a problem for the global economy. But if that is to be the case, then China needs to keep all of its cash inside the country, and they then allow the renminbi to devalue. Well, we are increasingly seeing efforts to tighten capital controls, and the renminbi has been really quite steady over the course of the last few days. But this doesn't look like anything other than a pause. Then I think when we think about what's going on in terms of the Hong Kong dollar, well, Hong Kong has got extensive capital reserves, so it does have the capacity to support the currency. It has certainly been testing the limits of the peg over the course of the last while, and has been weakening again over the last couple of days. What's happening in China is obviously a very significant factor. It represents a key risk in terms of the global liquidity situation, but also the health of the global economy. When we think then about what's happening in terms of gold, well, gold popped on the upside on Friday, and it followed through on the upside in here today, up over $15. Now, this has clearly broken the sequence of lower rally highs since the end of February. It's confirming more than near-term support in the region of the trend mean. And when we look at this over the course of the last 6 years, then what we're presented with is a clear sense of this rounding characteristic, which is consistent with accumulation. So there is a rationale for thinking that gold can be or can start to act as a safe haven asset once more, and particularly in view of the stress that's occurring in China. Then when we think about Bitcoin, well, Bitcoin is in many respects a Chinese cryptocurrency. The vast majority of mining for Bitcoin occurs in China. They also produce the majority of the mining machines, and the biggest mining operations are there. So it's the first port of call for anyone wanting to send money overseas, and it has doubled since the beginning of April. So that's obviously something that we're starting to see, is a flight to quality, or perhaps rather than a flight to quality, a flight to security. The dollar, however, is starting to weaken here. And I think when we think about what's going on in terms of the the US dollar? Well, the US is rapidly pricing in, or excuse me, the bond market is rapidly pricing in interest rate cuts. The currency market is starting to pay attention to that. Then we are starting to see that the pace of the advance in government bond prices is somewhat overextended in the short term. So I think it wouldn't be all that surprising if we see some consolidation over the course of the next while. But one of the key characteristics of this advance over the course of the last 6 months has been the size of the reactions. So it was really quite predictable that we would see the price get up to this 127.5 area. Now the big question is whether 125 is going to offer an area of support. I think that that is probably quite likely in here. Then when we think about the size of the Fed's balance sheet, I contend that this has been the primary source of or the rationale for a strong dollar. Well, we're at the beginning of June now. So we are only 3 months away from the end of this contraction. And that is assuming that the Federal Reserve holds to its timetable. And there is the potential that it could be accelerated. With the bond market pricing in interest rate cuts, the big question is whether that will be quick enough to rescue the economy. And what the stock market is telling us is that the jury is out. We've had a range underway now for the past 18 months. It is quite normal in the first half of the third year of the US presidential cycle to see a somewhat larger pullback, and it does appear that that is now what we're getting. It is the big question is the Federal Reserve going to provide the liquidity required in order to sustain the economic expansion, or are they going to wait too long and cause a recession? We have certainly seen the delayed impact of monetary and fiscal monetary tightening last year is apparent this year. If they wait too long, then even if they do cut interest rates, we'll be in an economic contraction. The economic, or I guess one thing that is pointing towards a contraction is the flatness of the yield curve, although it is starting to expand again. But what is potentially more important is, generally speaking, is it's not so much when the yield curve is contracting that the markets tend to run into trouble. It is, generally speaking, after the inversion, when they start to expand, is when we start to see the market doing worse. So if the yield curve does start moving higher in a dynamic manner, then that's one of the things that is that brings forward the estimates of when a recession is likely to occur. Then when we think about the Purchasing Managers Index, if we still have this argument about whether the yield curve has inverted or not, but the contraction in PMIs globally and the fact that it is trending downwards in the USA is not especially good news. So that is certainly something to pay particular attention to. And the fact that we do have this evolving problem in China, we have the trade war to contend with, the fact that gold is starting to do better, that the yen has been strengthening up and was strong in a dynamic manner on Friday, then the rally that we've had in bonds, this is certainly representative of liquidity coming out of the market, some people starting to raise cash. And now the big question is that we've had the defensive sectors rallying rather impressively, and the utilities have been among the best performers this year. The consumer staples shares had got all the way back up to test their peak and are now consolidating. Well, now the bigger question is is this a consolidation, or are we going to get a deeper pullback? And it is really at the mercy of the Federal Reserve, and the speed with which they start to ease is going to dictate whether we do have a recession, probably towards the end of this year or early next, or not. And that's, I think, the really most important points that are worth considering here right now. Well, when we start to look at corollaries, then the fact that Australia's market has got a history of failing to sustain upward breaks and has been easing back over the course of the last few days is suggestive that we are going to get at least a reversion back down towards the mean. And then when we think about what's going on in Canada, well, both Australia and Canada have been highly dependent on Chinese capital, and the TSX is now back also in the region of its trend mean, having just briefly moved on to new all-time highs a couple of months ago. And Brazil, as a major commodity exporter, is obviously also going to be influenced by what happens in China. Right now, it has been exhibiting relative strength because of the new administration there and the prospect of pension reform. But those are domestic issues compared with the broader problem of slowing global growth. Now, the bigger question is whether the region of the trend mean is going to continue to hold in here. Then, if the dollar is weakening, as foreign exchange investors start to alert or become more alert to the prospect of interest rate cuts, then that is acting as a tailwind for the euro. And the euro now has rallied in a more dynamic manner in here over the last 2 days than it has done in quite a while. There is an increasing possibility, therefore, that it is going to break its sequence of lower rally highs. I've been particularly bearish of the euro over the course of the last year because I didn't see a rationale for why the dollar should weaken. I think that is now changing. So there is the prospect here that we're going to see some better action from the euro, potentially also better action from the pound. And that is against a background where the pound in particular has been really quite weak. However, if we think about the impact that stronger currencies would have on their respective stock markets, well, the DAX index was up in a reasonably dynamic manner in here today. This is an upside key reversal, and it's starting to confirm support in the region of the trend mean. Now, obviously, it needs upside follow-through tomorrow, but Europe is, on a valuation basis, somewhat cheaper than the USA. It has been completely discounted by international investors, and obviously, it's not as if there aren't troubles in Europe, but there is the prospect that if the USA does start to cut interest rates, then that will lend some assistance to Europe, that a somewhat stronger currency and the more impressive or attractive valuation could start to attract foreign investors, particularly if the dollar starts to weaken. And that would be, I think, one of the rationale for Europe starting to provide something of a safe haven or potentially a pattern of outperformance. So I do think that we are at a point where Europe can start to demonstrate some relative strength, but probably more from a domestic orientation rather than an international orientation. So I think there is the scope here for Europe to start to move more front and center. Then, one of the reasons that people have generally liked the Indian market is because it is less influenced by the global economy. And the Nifty today was up into new all-time high territory. So that is looking more steady in here right now and is suggestive that India is a potential beneficiary of the deteriorating relationship between the USA and China. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.